Because if God forgets it, I know my brethren are going to forgive it. And they're the only ones they're going to be having to live with for all eternity. Anyone else who would be bitter against me for the things I've done or lack forgiveness, they're all going to perish. They're all going to wax old as doth a garment and fade away. But I labor for the meat which does not perish, for the life that never ends. Anyway, so the women have to have a certain special quality. They have to be real lovers of the truth, real lovers of the Word of God. Not many women are willing to follow this. And to that degree, I think in church sometimes it's because they're not, the younger women aren't like this because older women really aren't teaching them. I mean, here, I'll put a challenge. Have you older women sat down with the younger women? And I know to a lot of degree, there's a lot of, I know in my church, a lot of godly older women who have admonished the children. But the world we live in is, like I said, it's incredibly different. Sometimes you have to settle for the best fit at the time, you know. We want to be the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, but look it. You know, we grope for the wall like the blind, and we grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at the noonday as in the night. There's nothing to guide us. There's no, you know, it's like you look at the heritage of God. It looks like it's been trampled under feet. It looks like everything has just fallen to pieces and is in ruins. It's a pathetic state we find ourselves in. I look at all my failures, at the failures of the people I know, and I think about it and I say, Lord, how can this be? How can this be? But it is what it is. So from this, from these ashes, I have to believe that the glorious church is going to arise out of this corrupt in this misbegotten world. In this world of corruption and sin and abominations, that something holy and just and pure is going to rise out of it. That's a really glorious thing, and I think in a sense that's why it even happened. So that the rise of the church in the end times could be more glorious. It has to rise from such destitute, such a desolate world. Destitute of the truth, destitute of good things. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, sound of mind, sane, not crazy. In my youth, I was not good. You know, I said I was a boaster in evil things, boaster. You know, how much I could drink, how much I could smoke. I used to say to people, you don't quit smoking, you increase smoking. That's the kind of person I was. Nobody likes a quitter, I used to say. You know, foolishness. You know, but to be able to exhort the young men to be sober-minded and to walk in righteousness, the elder generation has to do the same. Otherwise, we're just hypocrites. Do as I do, not as I say. Do as I say, not as I do. Obviously, I had that backwards. You don't want to be that. I don't want to be telling people to do things that I can't do. Now, I also am honest with my kids about the things I used to do. Because I want to be able to tell them honestly how I feel about it. See, some parents, they don't want to tell their kids about their youth because they really enjoy their youth. They look back at that as like the good old days. All those drunken binges and college days and how they, you know, and they really, they love those things. At the same time, they kind of don't want their kids to do it. You hypocrites. Me? I tell my kids all about the things I've done. So that and I warn them. And I tell them how I was miserable in that life. And at the time, there were certain, you know, and I also tell them, hey, you know, it feels good, but it also worked a lot of bad things in my life. I'm not going to go into explaining the conversation I have with them. I'm just saying, I'm upfront about it. Because they ought to know. Because if they don't, they're going to make the same mistakes. I let them know what I did and why it was a mistake and how difficult it was to get out of it. You know, how those things ruled my life and how I hated myself in it. Some people love those things, and they go do those things. Well, then have, you know, then you do it willingly. Me, it was not so. So I teach them that. Teach them the truth. Exhort those young men. Verse 7, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to save you. That's important. I see a little lack there in me. I mean, as far as sometimes my speech gets a little not quite, you know, where I leave openings for people to nitpick and to bring me down. You know, I'll say maybe I'll use things that are unnecessarily offensive. I even edited a couple things out of the Bible study because I was like, you know, I think at one point I said, who the hell are you, or something like that, and it wasn't really appropriate. And people could look at that, at me, and then find fault. Honestly, I don't care, because I'm faulty. It's not me that's on trial here. It's the gospel. I have to come up from the ashes of the failure of the generations before me to pass down anything to me that resembles the truth. Okay? I mean, not that I don't have men ahead of me in the faith who have instructed me in things, okay, in good things. But I mean, in general, but they also came in, you know, but we had to come by these things. It wasn't like the tradition in which we were raised of good doctrine, good works, showing yourself a pattern of good works. You know, that people think good works is something bad. I mean, most people understand good works is good, but they sense, you know, you want they almost it almost becomes more like, well, doing good in Christianity isn't important. Just believe. We have to have a pattern of good works, and in doctrine we have to show what? Look at this, uncorruptness in doctrine, no corruption in the doctrine. And when I tell people this, nobody ever believes me. I mean, again, that's a figure of speech, meaning it seems, you know, there's people who do believe, of course. But by and large, people do not accept this. They say, well, no one could have all the truth. I don't mean that I have all the truth. What I mean is that all the truth I have is pure. And is not corrupted with false doctrine.